Yes, whenever you're ready, Nick. Yeah. I got lots of silence. Right.
A moment of silence.
Nick and his mom.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Eric Jacobson, winner of a guest spot at the Fearless Comedy Productions launch party. We talked to him about atheists in politics.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Fuckface Glover. And with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Tim
Kiss My Ass Wick,
and Molly Mrs. Fuckface Glover.
Mrs. Nicholas Fuckface Glover.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Nicholas Fuckface.
I stick to traditions in this marriage.
Yeah, that's right. Our marriage is nothing but traditional.
At the most.
Yeah. The only thing traditional about our marriage is that it has one penis and one vagina.
Guess whose is whose? You'll never know.
Surprise!
Who's that?
And our guest this week is Eric Jacobson. He won a guest spot at the Fearless Comedy Productions launch party in January.
He bid way too much money.
Yeah, he paid good money.
It was a silent auction. There was a bidding war.
It was awesome. It was super flattering.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. You're here. You made it. It only took us 5 months to get you on the podcast.
That's okay.
You've been busy. Yeah.
Now it's much more luxurious down in this luxurious basement studio. Yeah, it's the perfect temperature outside for the studio. It's not hot, and it's not so cold that down here is just either cold or hot.
I wish if we had waited a week, you would have been able to see the finished fountain on the way in.
That's true.
It's unfortunate. It's in the foyer.
It's still in the plastic wrap, so you can't really see much right now.
Well, maybe I can wait for the Google Street View car to come out in the next few years.
That'd be good.
For the outdoor fountain, but that's not going to help for the indoor fountains.
The chocolate fountain is run by the butler, but he's off. Something about his mother being dead. I don't know. We don't care.
Right. Yeah. Luxurious.
Next week he'll be back to normal.
Elitist atheist assholes.
Quite.
Yes.
Yes, the chocolate fountain.
What's funny? Christianity.
Indeed. Welcome.
Hi. Well, that was two minutes of wanking right there. That was amazing.
That really was. Eric, what... I mean, it's incredibly flattering that anyone would bid on a guest spot for our podcast. It was...
If you may have noticed that I think the opening bid was something like $25.
Yeah. And we were like, I hope someone bids that much. It was the highest item
at the auction. It was. Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome. And hopefully we will just flush that money down the county toilet.
Well, I saw what you're doing with your food budget earlier tonight.
Yeah.
We had luxurious sandwiches earlier.
Luxurious sandwiches. Yeah. Golden crusted.
So, we were going to talk about...
Politics.
Yes.
Politics. Sweet Jesus.
Like, we don't ever talk about politics.
This is not polite company, so we're going to talk about politics.
We never talk about politics or the lack of religion in you know...
Right, yeah, right. I've been following you for a little while. I'm starting to catch a trend. I'm not sure yet. We're only on, 43, 44 episodes?
Yeah, this is...
Oh, nice call. This will be 44.
I'm beginning to think these guys are...
We're 45.
Something's not right here.
So it's important, too, right now, because... It is. In Minnesota...
2 days from when we're recording this, the Minnesota Senate...
House.
Is voting for marriage equality in Minnesota.
We already had the thing where it went to the committee, and the committee voted to pass it, and I watched it live, and a bunch of people were cheering in my office. It was great. Yeah. And then and now this is the fruits of that, right? This is now the voting.
So it goes to the House. The Senate has cleared Senate committee too, but a floor vote's not yet scheduled, but they will be voting before the end of the session.
Well, because they're not going to vote on it if the House doesn't pass it. The House has to pass it first.
That's why they haven't scheduled it. Senate said Saturday would be
the earliest that they would take
up
the measure.
The House, the supporters of the bill in the House feel they have the votes to get it passed, so hopefully that's the case.
I called our representative Loon because she's a Republican, and she has said that she's
hasn't
as of yet undecided. So I called and left a message on the machine, which I was actually glad for because then I can talk longer.
Yeah,
but I said that I am very I'm a Minnesotan, and I'm proud of that, and I don't want us to be in the lower half of the, or even the lower, like, two-thirds of the state's list of, you know, like, people who have decided to let it go through. Uh-huh. Like, in the history books, they're going to have an order. It's going to be in order of what states decided to take it on for marriage equality.
Maryland was today, right?
We're at 11 now.
Delaware.
Yep.
It was Delaware.
Maryland already did. We're at 11 now.
God damn it, I wanted to be 11, because that's like a prime number, and it's
a good number. For 13, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know who's...
We'll have to wait for...
It's not even funny. It's ridiculous. Even funny.
Yeah. No, it's really... And we would be the first quote-unquote flyover state if we pass it.
Well, not Iowa.
Well, no, the first one that's done it legislatively and not by court ruling.
Right, or vote, popular vote, which was Maine.
Yeah, but Maine's not a flyover state. Maine's a...
Right, I'm just,
The first non-coastal.
Yeah, there you go.
Non-coastal state.
It's exciting. I mean, it seems like they took the momentum of the marriage amendment to the Constitution.
Well, the Minnesotans United for All Families, like, they did not stop. And Scott Dibble, like, they didn't even they didn't even rest. It was like the no vote went through in November, and they were like, okay, well, then that means we got to push through.
Well,
it's the time.
The no vote went through. The Democrats took a really good size majority in both the House and the Senate. And the fact is, this is very much a Democratic issue, not a Republican issue.
Yeah.
So you needed to have a Democratic majority in the House and Senate.
It's a part of the official Democratic platform.
There's been a lot there's been a lot of Republicans coming out in favor of it.
Because it's crippling. It's a problem for their party.
The quicker you do it, the more likely you're going to actually be in the history books as one of the ones who did.
Well, and I've heard also one of the arguments against voting on it right now is that they should wait. You know, some of the voters felt that in the fall election to reject the constitutional amendment, that they were going to buy some time, and in some people's mind they were thinking like 5-10 years. But the reality is, this is the first year of a biennium, and so if the vote comes now, the voter memory of who voted when in another year and a half is diminished.
Yeah.
And so those
it's not going to be an election issue for anybody in a district that's kind of balanced, or maybe a Democrat that won in a Republican district because people were just pissed off at Republicans in the last
election.
Which
is smart, because people can actually take a chance. The Republicans can actually be like, you know what, I think I will vote, and then just...
I think I'll actually vote my conscience. What the fuck?
Maybe in a year and a half, or not even necessarily their conscience, they may think it's morally wrong, but decide that they're going to go with it for political reasons. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, you can believe whatever you want is morally wrong. That's your God-given right.
So, of course, we're talking about this, and, you know, by next week when this podcast goes up, it could have gotten fucked.
It's true.
And that would suck. Yeah.
And if, fuck you, Jennifer Loon. No, or good job, Jennifer Loon.
So are you, it seems like are you politically active, or do you consider yourself like really involved in politics on a local level?
Well, that's a good question. In all honesty, I used to be more, but then adult life and being a dad kind of takes over.
Yeah.
And so I've had to scale it back, but a few election cycles ago, period of time with this millennium, I was quite heavily active. So I participated on 5 political campaigns.
Oh, wow.
My state representative, I was there on her first campaign and then her 2 re-election campaigns.
And who was that?
Sandra Peterson from the New Hope area. She was a moderate Democrat in a swing district of Minnesota. Her first time around, she beat an incumbent named Lynn Osterman.
I've heard her name.
Yeah, she's like a junior Michelle Bachmann.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But smarter. I mean, that's not a stretch.
Well, that's difficult. Yeah.
More dangerous.
Because she was sensible sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that campaign was the campaign that I was most involved, because I was in the inner circle, if you call it. It's not like some weird secret thing. But, you know, there were a handful of us, about 8 people
who were
involved in kind of a campaign strategy.
She's kind of always
there. How do we push Sandra Peterson's name out there and organize volunteers to get out and do door knocking and lawn signs and stuff like that. So I was involved in that, and then I was the chair for the lawn signs, and I built a database and a reporting tool so that people could go around with their distribution list, keep track of things.
And,
I was able to get my nerd on. And
I'm hearing you. I love that shit. Like,
People say that's what decided the last 2 presidential elections was...
The ground game.
Ground game and a combination of excellent data handling.
And that's one thing that Sandra Peterson really had her first time around was, along with me, there was another person, Steve Peterson, who really was tech savvy and in touch with the grassroots organization. So it was a lot of fun to be able to see people work together and then obviously the success. But then other campaigns I helped out on was my state senator, who's Ann Rest.
Okay.
She's been state senator for several election cycles now.
How's she voting?
I don't know. I haven't heard. I would suspect that she's going to vote in favor.
Right. Yeah.
I respect everyone in my general area will.
Yeah.
Even though it is moderate and they all tend to be moderate.
Well, New Hope's more rural, too. It's not, well, I mean, it's not.
Is it suburban now?
Yeah, it's second tier.
Second tier.
Yeah. Okay.
Maple Grove or.
Okay, sure. Like Eden Prairie. Yeah.
No, it's not like Eden Prairie. It's Eden Prairie's like third tier.
Yeah.
New Hope's second tier.
Yeah, it's sandwiched between Plymouth and Crystal. It's just east to west where you
I work in Plymouth. And I when I was a kid, I lived in Osseo.
Sure.
Which is
so it's more urban.
I was thinking it more out past Chaska. Okay.
No.
It's Northwest. Suburban and it's mostly residential,
Single
family homes, and then they also have a lot of multi-family dwellings that cause a lot of issues. New Hope, total sidebar, has last I heard the 8th largest percentage of low income multi-family dwelling. Buildings in the city limits, and New Hope is by far not close to the 8th largest population, so it does cause some issues because there's a large Plymouth envy.
Plymouth is kind of, sweet.
Plymouth has gotten to be like kind of the big prefab houses in kind of like Eden Prairie in that same way.
Yeah.
Like planned communities with large, similar looking houses that are expensive and big, but
City lights are always on when no one ever goes outside their house. So it's really important. I was involved in some of these campaigns, and then also I was, because I happen to be a Democrat, of the left wing of the left party.
Sure.
So I just with Democrats because of the organization stuff. I was heavily involved in my Senate district.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting involved in the party political structure and the organization, which is really helpful for candidates who are looking to get involved and run to be able to draw from those volunteers and support structures and limited funds, but at least being able to have...
Well, it seems like limited funds, but your volunteering might mean more in those situations.
Right.
It seems like the value of your efforts would be, have more impact, I guess.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
They do. And one of my favorite things that I still do, this is one thing I have not let go, is being the my precinct chair at caucus night.
Every two years we have
a big caucus, and people say, I feel like I'm going to say I'm a Democrat or a Republican. You get out into some schools and you get through there, and there's a little agenda of we do this, say the Pledge of Allegiance, stupid rules and orders. But then the cool part about it is that there's the opportunity for everyday citizens to submit platform ideas legislative ideas.
Yeah.
And one of the best examples of how that process turns into something tangible, the Peace Corps came out of the Hibbing area of Minnesota.
Huh. I didn't know that was a local idea.
Came through Minnesota
win.
Administration.
Yeah.
Even if we are number 12 or 13 or whatever the fuck
I've only caucused once, which, God, I'll try my best not to laugh every time I say it. But
caucus.
We were living just east of Uptown, Linden Lake area, for the caucus right before Obama was chosen as the
2008.
The 2008
caucus.
Yeah, yeah. That was. I'm glad we participated, and it was neat. That election, for us, we were at the Excel Center when he was announced himself as the candidate, or when he was picked.
It was great.
It was awesome to be there kind of for something fairly historic and to be a part of that.
Super historic.
Nothing
fairly about it. Crazy historic.
while you're doing all this, the volunteering and organizing and grassroots stuff, were you out as an atheist to these people, or
when it came up in conversation, I would talk about it. I wasn't like full on like I am now, where someone would ask me and I would just bluntly say, I'm an atheist.
Sure.
But I would, if religion came up, or typically it was bashing the extreme right wing religious point of view, and so then that's just like a fish in a barrel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
but there were times too, like Sandra Peterson, she's an active Christian, and she went to church every week, and she was fine, and, you know,
she's a politician,
but when I said, yeah, I just... Middle church, I don't believe in God. And she's like, okay, cool. How are those lawn signs going?
Do you think there could have been some, like, obviously low level in terms of media, but like scandal? Like, you know, oh, Sandra Peterson has an atheist, like, in her, you know, kind of inner circle team. Do you think that that could be some, or like, would you be surprised if that kind of story broke for someone else?
Not really, unless that's you're going in like a red meat district in the Bible Belt.
Sure.
That would be dangerous as a politician, but here in, you know, the more progressive states or even the moderate states, I think it's not that big of a deal.
It feels like such a big deal, the religion, but we're usually hearing about it more on like a national scale.
Yep.
But also when it comes to, then you get these crazies like Bachman and, you know, the people who obviously supported Santorum since the state went for him.
The trick about the caucuses, though, is that the caucuses tend to get more extreme because, in general, the people going to the caucus are the more extreme members of
their
party.
Doesn't make me feel much
better.
They're
locked in. They don't feel that they're at risk with their point of view. Right. And so now's the time I can save my bachelor.
It doesn't make me feel much better, though, because Santorum was a special kind of crazy.
Well, but both sides, I imagine.
Only time I went to caucus... Since the kids have been born, Pat tends to go to the caucus and I stay home with the kids, and it's only recently we've been able to go together, but the year that Bush was up for re-election, Bush Jr. Was up for every election, we fucking went to the caucus. And that year, the Democrats in Minnesota went for Kucinich. So the thing is, super extreme on both parties.
Is it that because it's not the actual election... People can take a risk on their vote more, and so they're not going to pick the guy who's going to win. They're going to pick the guy who, you know, most represents them or whatever.
Well, the message. I mean, I actually caucused for Kucinich, and I'm pretty liberal, but I thought he was probably even too liberal for me. But the thing was that I caucused for Kucinich because what you then do is send a message to Gore, who everybody knew was going to get the nomination.
Yeah.
You send the message to Gore that says, don't be going too far to the right because you're going to alienate everybody in your party that is to the left if you do that. So
I can totally understand that. At the same time, I guess, and it might just be because I am an atheist, but I feel like the far right zealotry people, the crazy right people, are way more destructive and harmful to everyone's way of life than the crazy left people. And so for me, to know that people voted for Santorum makes me feel worse than to know that people voted for Kucinich, even though, like, I know he was also ridiculous. Like, Kucinich had, like...
He's
super liberal. I voted for Nader twice. I mean, I don't know who I shouldn't really, but like, it's...
God
it's,
damn it, you lost the election for Gore.
You know what? You know who lost the election for Gore? Gore. Gore lost the election for Gore.
The United States Supreme Court. Anyway.
To your point, though, about extremism, I mean, tying it back to atheism or skeptic thought or logical thought, I mean, let's not fool ourselves thinking that Democrats are the paladin, so to speak, of science and logic.
Oh, no, not at all.
41% of Democrats are young Earth creationists.
Yeah.
Yes.
19% think global warming's a hoax.
Yeah.
And Democrats or the more liberal people tend to be more inclined to fall into alternative medicines.
That's what I was just going to say. Sure, sure. I know some rabid far left people that I do not trust.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm pretty sure
anti-vaxxers are mostly from the left.
The anti-GMO people who don't listen to reason.
There's a lot of like Tea Party people that are anti-vax or GMO people because...
Well, certainly, you want to be careful about overgeneralizing.
My point basically being, like, when I hear that our state went to Santorum, my heart sinks.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he is hateful, though. Like, he's genuinely hateful.
But he loves Jesus.
Jesus
is in his heart.
On the ballot for the Republican caucus?
I'm talking presidential.
She was out by that time.
Because otherwise she would have gotten it.
Yeah.
And it was really just Santorum at that stage was the anti-Romney flavor.
He had some really hateful shit toward women. Really damaging.
I understand how people could vote for Santorum because it's like, you know, Mitt Romney is the taste of a mouthful of sawdust. And it's like, Rick Santorum might be a bad taste in your mouth, but it's taste.
What does Santorum taste like?
What does Santorum taste like?
Yes. Santorum leaves a taste in your mouth. Yeah, what's it like?
Bitter.
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 Chocolatey.
Like changes, like dynamic. Like, changes by the day.
Like secondhand dark chocolate.
I gotcha. Not sweet.
No, salty. Not salty. Well, bitter. Yeah.
We've talked about atheists in politics before, and just the fact that right now there's one person in the House of Representatives who does not claim a religion.
There are 13 states where you cannot hold office if you are an atheist. Period.
Yeah.
Like,
that's totally unconstitutional. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's completely.
States' rights.
Yeah. Article 6, paragraph 3 yeah. quite clearly states yeah. there shall be no religious yep. test to hold office.
Yep. Well, but that's states' rights bullshit. Like, yeah. it somehow trumps federal law these days.
But atheists say that atheism is not a religion, and therefore, since atheism is not a religion, you actually can regulate based on
yep.
that.
Well, the second it gets tested, a court would throw it out because it is unconstitutional.
But the point is, in those states, no one's going to win.
Right. Who's an atheist that's going to run for office in Alabama? Well, if you want to get shot.
I'd probably lie if I was running in Alabama. Right. Like,
I guarantee you there are lots of politicians who lie.
About religion. They don't know why. They got the trophy spouse to go along.
There's so many gay ones. You find them all the time when they have sex with guys and they get caught doing that. And then they're like, oh shit. I hate gays, but is that being gay? Sex with guys is gay?
I thought you meant something different when you said gay.
I misunderstood. My bad. I thought you were talking about
happy marriage.
Yeah. I don't have one of those either.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucking this guy.
Right.
Speaking of Michelle Bachman.
Yeah.
No one's fucking that guy.
So that's why I wanted to talk about this today,
like
bringing politics back down towards the local level, because everything that we've just been talking about for the last 5 minutes or so feeds into this idea that I think many atheists have, that we're not welcome in the political arena.
For sure.
You know, for these things we discussed. But the reality is we're citizens just like everyone else, and we are smart and we have passions about particular issues, and we need to be involved and not really worry about that backlash, whether it's perceived or real. But so I wanted to share my experiences as being involved in local politics, that I was surrounded by all that and never experienced it. Now, granted, it might be because I'm a Democrat and a white man, so that grants me all kinds of powers in this country.
Magical white man powers.
I know.
Laser privilege vision.
Yeah. Where does extra 33 cents come from?
So I just wanted to say, you can get involved, and your idea of involvement is really what counts for you. Like, I was more interested in the organization and helping, move a candidate through the process, or bring a few more people in as volunteers and help them have a positive experience so that we can call on them next time. Other people might want to get in and say, damn it, I want to change the world. I'm tired of this religious oppression, and I'm going to make sure that we're not going to have 10 Commandments anywhere.
Well, and there's something to be said that even if you don't have a chance of winning, even if the atheism would be an issue, the exposure of an atheist trying is important.
Mm-hmm.
The exposure, just people being exposed to atheists is important.
I think
that visibility is important.
I think the dialogue is important. I mean, we talk about gay marriage, and if you look back 8 years,
I know.
8 years ago, and you go, and you say, all right, in 8 years, 12 to 15 states will have legal gay marriage.
In 8 years, I bet it's 30.
Yeah, and 8 years ago, I was talking with gay friends, and I'm like, we're all going to have to be really patient on this. This is not going to happen. It might not even happen in our lifetime. We just got to keep hammering and hammering.
And 8 more years from now, it's going to just.
Who knows? Something might be done federally in that time, where it's just all at once.
Yeah, who knows if the Supreme Court's going to rule that way. But the thing is that bringing atheism not necessarily into the dialogue, but into the open, and saying, I am an atheist and I want to be involved in politics, and my belief or non-belief in God has no bearing on whether or not I can I can be a good public servant.
But I'm sorry.
It had nothing to do with my building a database and structuring lawn sign distribution, but the fact that I was involved and I participated, and I didn't try to be confrontational if it happened to come up. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm atheist. I don't believe in God, whatever. Everyone was cool. You know, and we have people who are confrontational in our demographic. You know,
yeah.
I think
of, sure. Well, of course, everyone does. Well, there's confrontational yeah. people in literally every demographic, except maybe Quakers. But, yeah. like... I think that one of the things that I feel, though, is I think that that's all well and good, and that's the first step, for sure. Mm-hmm. We need to have people in office who are saying, I'm an atheist, but that's not really the point.
It's irrelevant.
But you know what? We also need people that are going to be willing to be in office and say, I'm an atheist, and guess what? That fucking matters to me. Yeah. Because... Sure. It's, you know, like, just as much as
separation
we have...
Separation of church and state is
we've
important.
Got presidents who
important.
Have said, I'm a Christian, and that's what I think is true and right, and we should all be... And there's cheering.
Yeah.
I don't want to be at the point where we have to just be like, oh, but it's okay, it doesn't matter, I can still do it. Now I can still do it. I'm going to do this, and I'm an atheist, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
We need to reach a point, and it's about dialogue, it's about talking about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That... The more we talk about it, the more we're open about it, the more that people who are atheists run for office, and people say, well, are you an atheist? And the answer is, well, yes, I'm an atheist, mm-hmm. and that has nothing to do with whether or not I can do this job. And then
from there, we need to go on. Yeah.
And a lot of those people are going to lose. But until atheists start running,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes part of the dialogue, we're going to continue to have this issue of people saying, well, I'm never going to vote for an atheist.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
They haven't had an atheist in front of them to vote for.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think a good analogy to that is Mormons. I mean, think about
mm-hmm.
when we were kids, 25, 30 years ago, because I'm really young.
You're
Mormons
right
just
year.
Were these batch of crazy people bred
yeah.
in Utah.
Oh, for
now,
sure.
Now, for several years,
we're in the same clothes
the Senate Majority
songs.
Leader, Harry Reid, he's Mormon. The Republicans...
Mitt Romney!
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
Now we were this close to having a Mormon as
yeah.
a president.
Right. And all it did is they just got involved.
Yeah.
To give it a sinister
yeah.
spin, you could say infiltrated.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
really all it is being active.
Yeah.
And organized.
As atheists, yep. we have to get active in politics if we want to have any impact on it. And
mm-hmm. if you want to be represented.
There are tons of constituency groups that have more impact on politics than atheists. Jews mm-hmm. is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish caucus has a huge impact, and yet... There are more atheists in this country than there are Jews.
Yeah,
and
there are like
that's not saying Jews shouldn't have an impact. It's saying why don't atheists have the kind of impact that Jews do?
Because we're dismissible.
Because they didn't ever try to kill 6 million of us at once, and we're not still feeling guilty.
Well, let's
about
work
it.
On that.
I'm just saying, no, that's a big part of it. That is a big part of it.
But
all right.
So, atheists run for office. That's
do
the
it.
Start of it.
Yeah.
We are going to move on to our five questions.
Eric, are you ready?
Ooh, yeah, I have them.
Eric,
you have a cheat sheet? All right.
Oh. Yeah, I crammed like
no,
last
that's,
night.
That's great.
I had a few beers, came up with stuff. All right.
All right, are you ready?
Sure.
Eric Jacobson, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? It can be on DVR or in the theaters or whatever.
Well, this is really easy for me because I've only seen one in the last 30 days.
All right.
There's so many of our people on this.
I know.
Yeah,
weird.
I know. And so this one happened to be on Netflix, and I have seen it before, but I really like the film, and it's called Troll Hunter.
Oh.
It is a Norwegian indie film,
yeah,
and uh-huh. it's set up in kind of that... live person documentary, kind of like the Blair Witch Project, mm-hmm. but it's not
found footage.
Found footage.
Yeah, that. Okay, found footage. And the general premise is that the fairy tale stories of trolls in Norway are true. Just everyone's too busy to pay attention to it.
Hmm.
And the found footage mockumentary follows around this guy who is a troll hunter. And I like the film because, well, it's Norwegian. I'm Norwegian, so I love
sure.
anything Viking.
Well, you're Minnesotan. That's
yeah,
the same
I know.
Thing.
It's a stretch.
He looks like a Viking, Tim.
He does.
He really does.
Yeah. But I thought that the actors did a good job expressing their emotions through that. I thought the CGI effects, because, you know, really there are no trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
What? Ruined.
Yeah. I thought the CGI effects were pretty good. I mean, there are a couple times where you can just... It's a little bit off, but
it's a Norwegian like sci-fi style movie.
Did someone else mention this movie on the podcast?
I think so, and I fell asleep in the first 5 minutes, but that wasn't the movie's fault. This was like when it first came out. It was first free streaming for like
mm-hmm.
Netflix or Amazon Prime. I crashed, and I haven't had the opportunity, or I keep on forgetting to watch it. But the part I keep on hearing about is. Trolls like they're attracted to the smell of Christian blood.
Yeah, that's
kind of fun. Yeah. And so, like, that comes into... I don't want to say any more than that, but that it comes into play in the movie.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah. And just that these old Norse mythological creatures would be able to tell because they're magic. Yeah. And you know, that... They exist, therefore magic exists in that fictional world, and I can buy that. And yeah. It seems like they had fun with it.
They did, and I got sucked into the whole environment in the movie pretty
That's
quickly.
Awesome.
I thought it was done really well, so I
Nick
recommend
is
it.
Also Norwegian.
Yeah.
As you can tell by his size and beard.
Have you seen the Santa... What's the Santa... myth one.
I don't know.
Where it's like a horror movie where
I remember watching it, but I don't remember what it's called at all.
Oh, fuck. I can't... Whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Second question.
What is your favorite atheist character?
Okay, so another tough one because, in general, I don't spot atheist characters. To me, to be an explicitly atheist character, it has to be a plot point. And generally, authors don't, or filmmakers don't, make atheism a plot point.
Sure. Right. Right.
But one that does stand out is from the Wheel of Time series.
Oh.
Character Perrin Ibarra.
Perrin Goldeneyes.
Perrin Goldeneyes.
Okay. And so all you Wheel of Time fans, just probably close your ears because I'll butcher pronunciations and plot points.
Yeah, like you can tell it's a book. Who the fuck knows how it's pronounced? The original author's dead.
Yeah.
Hey, Wheel of Time nerds, suck it. Keep going.
Yeah. But the part that I like about Perrin in that is that he's confronted very early on with a organized religious entity patterned after the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really appreciated the way he handled it. I mean, he's put in that typical... they strike first, he backlashes, so then he gets busted for everything. And then it's this ongoing struggle through many books about how does this organization deal with this one rogue person? And he's always just not important enough to deal with because of all the other shit going on. But I love that Perrin has the bravery and courage to stand up and say, no, that's bullshit. You killed my friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Even when there's... And it's a book with a lot of religious... there's gods and shit's happening and they're cleansing the taint, which just cracks me up. But like,
cleansing
the taint and all, but all this mystical shit's happening and Perrin's always like, I mean, I guess. Like, I get that this is, he's very like, I know we have to go see your, you know, like, god or whatever, but like, it's very like,
He himself is, I mean, the whole main crew in that book, they're all magical in some way or shape or form, and his type
of... He's a skin changer, right?
His type of magic is more of nature.
Yeah,
nature-oriented, so it's just... To him, it seems like it's not magic, it's just nature, just the way shit is. It's just a part of...
You know, don't get all uppity about my status.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I gave up at Winter's Heart. So our third question is, what is your geekiest hobby? What's the hobby that when... you tell it to other geeks, they say, wow, that's pretty fucking geeky.
Well, I have lots that I can't tend to, and so I tend not to talk about them that much because I'm just too busy. But the one that's really stuck with me over the years, fantasy baseball.
Oh, wow.
Now, sports and geekdom tend not to go together.
That's the Venn diagram center.
So here's the gist. So back in the 90s, I always wanted to create my own fantasy baseball league. In the end of the 90s, I finally found enough people who would tolerate my existence. And so I created this league, and being who I am, I didn't run with just the standard rotisserie or weird algebraic formula. Came up with my own rule system. Normally they follow like 10 stats.
No,
I follow
super,
21.
That's super geeky.
And so I built this whole system, the game mechanics, and then the database and programs to create a database-driven website, all hard-coded in Notepad.
Yeah.
And I taught myself databases, server-side scripting, client-side scripting.
Sure.
And what I do today is directly related to me starting fantasy baseball.
That's fantastic.
14 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
Except for the part about baseball.
Well, right. Yeah. The reason I am in my
career. Sports anyway.
Yeah. The reason I am where I am in my career today is because my friends had LAN parties and I wanted to play Quake with them. And that's why I'm a network engineer now. It's because I had to figure out, I was too poor to buy a computer and I had to build my own and network, figure out how to network all that shit from scratch as a teenager. And that's that's how why I am what I am now.
Yeah, isn't it awesome when a hobby teaches you skills?
Yes.
Marketable skills. Yeah.
Do you still play fantasy baseball?
Yeah. Oh, so I quit being commissioner 2 years ago because it just got to be too much.
Yeah.
When I first started, it was 40 hours.
You start feeling really bad when you have to kick your friends out of the league forever and they can't go into the Hall of Fame.
It was the politics of being the commissioner that got you.
But the deal was, as I told everyone, like, I'm quitting. If you guys want to keep playing, you can play, and I'll teach someone else how to do this stuff. And if not, because you all have lives and a lot of kids, that's cool too. Well, I've been an owner in my own league for the last 2 years. I had two guys pick up the slack, and it's fantastic.
Now you can actually play.
Yeah, I can have fun with it again.
Sweet.
Do you watch the show The League? Because you should.
No.
It's an FX show about these guys who've had a fantasy football league for like 20 years. And it's fucking hilarious.
It's like, really very funny.
Yeah, you should. Nice. I'm sure it's on Netflix. You guys should watch it.
The comedian Jean Lajoie
and Nick Kroll and a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's very funny.
All right, so question number 4. What is your favorite sandwich? And please be specific with details.
Yes. So I'm vegetarian, and that limits some sandwiches.
Yes.
But I haven't been vegetarian my whole life. And when I was younger, my favorite was like grub-style Philly cheesesteak.
Ooh,
sure. So as a vegetarian, I tried to figure out how to recreate that without the dead cow. Kind of important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I make a mock duck Philly.
All right.
Okay.
Key number one, whenever you use mock duck, get the stuff in the can.
Yes.
If you buy the stuff in the box, it's like eating the hard fat grizzle on a T-bone steak.
I will eat that shit cold out of the can. It's delicious.
It's fantastic. So because the stuff in the can is more tender and you can get it in small slices, you can do that fine
slicing with
the flipper.
It shears nicely.
It does. And then it also takes on marinade. So I use... two parts for my marinade. One is a hickory marinade by a company called Allegro. It's local, or you can find it in Cub Food stores around town. And then a little bit of pick a pepper sauce.
Yes, I love pick a pepper.
Jamaican.
Yeah.
It makes a really nice, earthy, umami, slightly smoky.
Like a peppered steak kind of. Yeah.
So that works really well. And then, of course, you got to have the onions and the bell peppers cut in large, but thin slices and just on a hot griddle. I use the same process anyone would at a cheesesteak.
With meat,
So I have my pile of marinated mock duck that's all shredded into small pieces. I have my onions and peppers all together, and then I have my white roll. You know, none of that crusty bread, no baguettes, nothing fancy.
It's
you need like
rubbing
a
on.
50-cent roll from the...
Part of what makes it that experience is the shitty white bread of absolutely.
You definitely need it, because you got to grip it, and then there's going to be so much fat that the bread has to absorb it. So then you get the provolone cheese slices in the bottom of the U of the sandwich, so then you can put on the mock duck and the onions and peppers, and the cheese starts to melt. The juices go into the bread, and it starts to all fit together, and whether you're sober or nursing a hangover, it's delicious.
Either one.
Either way.
That sounds amazing.
Wow. Okay, last question is, what the stupidest thing anybody ever said to you about your atheism?
It's probably a riff on a lot of other things, but when I told my mom emphatically, "Mom, I'm atheist," of course she broke down and cried, because that's what moms do. And when she started breathing again, she didn't take it well. She, in her choked up voice, she goes, "But I want you to be in heaven with Dad and me." And I was still in like really angry atheist mode.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to say, "Mom, you'll be fucking dead. You won't know, and neither will I." But it's like, you know, it's mom. She's crying.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let it be. But the whole time, I was just like, "Mom." And the thing, too, is that my parents taught me the logic skills.
Oh,
and the question, my mom questioned her religion in her form. And my dad taught me how to question authority. And for them to be shocked that I would turn out to be the first generation atheist in my family shouldn't be a surprise.
What I think is so funny is that, like, you know, all I can think of to say to that, where it's like crying, like, "I want you to be in heaven with Dad and me," it's like, "Well, hey, look on the bright side. Maybe we're both wrong, and we will be together." Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's
in the great cosmic unconscious.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's like, I suppose, the most positive.
Could be worse. We could end up in a Robin Williams movie. That movie was awful.
just terrible.
God, it was so boring. So boring. If heaven's that boring, I don't want
to
go.
Boy, yeah. It's like that girl at the club. It was really pretty to look at, but everything that came out of its mouth was retarded.
Oh, good. Well, that's a way to end the show.
Yeah, it's a way. Now that we've offended more people, thank you for joining us, Eric, and
for
being on.
Enjoyed it.
With
and
us.
Thanks for the contribution to Fearless. We really appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely.
Because
helpful.
Of you, we probably are going to have another show that will not do very well.
Yes! Success!
Huzzah. By the way, guys, you should be coming to Fearless shows.
Yeah, come on.
Because you're not. So,
I don't know if you've noticed that you haven't been there.
Because we're there and we don't see you. So.
Well, Molly's going to be trying stand-up soon.
That'll be actually a Fearless Lab this Thursday.
It's Tuesday.
Shut up. Thursday the 14th. So this Thursday after this goes up, right? Yes, this is going up next week.
But isn't it on Tuesday, not Thursday?
Oh, it is Tuesday.
It's the same day.
It's tonight!
It's tonight! Quick, run!
I just told him to shut up and he was right.
Yay!
Everybody drink, I guess.
It was bound to happen sooner or later.
Yeah. But no, tonight, come out to Fearless Lab. And we'll be at Honey, 7:30 p.m. And I'm doing stand-up, and Nick's going to be the MC, so...
And there's going to be vilification
tennis.
Tim
will probably be selling chocolate bars.
Yeah, because that's what I do now.
Peddle your sweets.
Peddle my child.
All right. We're Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You're like the Michelle Bachman of oral sex.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time. You can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
14-year-old girl in a candy striper costume with like filthy knees, and mom was just like, brother, like that's just not good.